WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back this week again. I keep having weeks off for science, and it's terribly boring. I can only apologise.
We all need science right now, Dan.
You do need some science right now. I'm Dan. I'm one of your hosts. This is episode 436 of BRB UK. I'm joined as ever by Coleman. Say hello, Coleman.
Hi.
And you've already heard from him because he just cannot keep bloody quiet. It's Tim.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Yeah, all right, apart from my back.
Which, you know. Are you turned into an old man?
Yes, I felt very old this week by injuring my back while getting up off the couch.
Mate, to be fair, I have permanently hurt my shoulder by getting out of bed.
Yeah.
Or for being asleep in a weird way. And it happened about like a year ago, and I've still got tingling in my fingers because I'm an old decrepit.
You are such manly men. I've got
yes.
to admit.
We are manly men. We are manly men.
You're a bit younger than us, Coleman.
You'll
get
to
there.
See the arse hair that is making a beeline for my shoulder blades at the moment. It's incredible. It's just, I'm just growing hair in places. It's great.
Nice.
That's definitely
nice.
TMI, but yeah. Definitely
right.
In your 40s, sporting injuries in your sleep, and hair where there shouldn't be hair, where there wasn't hair
before.
You know what?
I'm soon going to reach the point where I actually won't need to wear underpants because it will just be like hair.
Yeah.
Big hairy shorts. Coleman.
Give it a few years and you may not be lacking for hair. You could just comb your eyebrows up over your hair and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's a dream. That's a dream. You can back comb it from your neck.
Yes, I've joked about that before. Just growing neck hair out and then combing it forward and they'll look like Elvis.
It's a look. It's a look. It's not a good look, but it's a look.
It's a choice.
It's a look. But actually, on the subject of being hairy, I'm very excited, chaps. I'm getting a haircut on the 18th of April.
Ooh,
it's going to be amazing.
You've booked it and everything.
Well, I booked what it was actually meant to... God, I'm so sorry. This is terribly dull. Actually,
the
meant
manliest
to have
of men.
Christmas. But I meant to have it before Christmas. It still hasn't happened. So,
yeah.
I'm going to get rid of the mullet that, thankfully, NVIDIA Broadcast is doing its best to hide at the moment. Thank you, AI blurring technology. You're the best.
Without that blurring, there's just hair everywhere behind you. Yeah?
There is. That's what it is. That's not my chair. It's just the extension of my mullet you can see in the background.
Do you remember that period of Top Gear where Richard Hammond like went into a coma and then afterwards he seems to be going through a midlife crisis and started growing his hair and wearing gaudy shirts and stuff?
Brain damage.
I don't know why I brought that up. I don't know why I brought that up. Just sort of came to me for some reason.
I know the look for you, loads of you looking at the video today. I realised the look that I'm rocking is out of work Top Gear presenter at the moment.
Some say Dan is dressed like a bleb.
Some say this is the most tedious introduction to a podcast
in the world.
I didn't know Laura Ashley made shirts, actually. But you know.
Laura Ashley would be doing a good job if they're making anything at the moment, mate, in all fairness. Brexit economic economic slump humour. Get it here while it's tepid. So any super fun facts, Coleman, that you can bore the audience with?
It's my birthday on Saturday.
Hey!
Oh, that's not
what
boring.
You get for your birthday?
I don't know, because then that would ruin the surprise.
PS5.
Birthday. What have you asked for your birthday?
A puppy.
What kind of puppy?
Couple of them. No,
A couple of puppies.
Yeah, I haven't asked for anything for my birthday. Second lockdown birthday for me, so
yeah,
fun times.
Not so great.
At least the cinema's open like a week later.
Great. It's
something to look forward to.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm sure both of you have seen, I'm now on wedding date number 3.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you for the invite.
Thanks, COVID. That's twice I've had to cancel my wedding. And now I've had to move it to a third date. And I really, really hope that doesn't go wrong either.
Yeah.
Because COVID is a bell end. You heard it here first. Mm-hmm. That is an official medical fact. COVID is a bell end. Let's just check. Let's just check if there's understanding in the room. Tim, what's COVID?
It's a bell end.
Excellent, Coleman. What's COVID?
It's a bell end.
It's the largest bell end
in the world.
Anyway, we ought to talk about video games, really.
Yes.
You chaps have been playing the same thing, and the reason you have been playing and I have not is that I was not sufficiently convinced by the demo and the acting and the voice acting and script that made me want to claw my own brain out through my back passage. For those two reasons alone, I have not picked up Outriders. Aww. But you chaps have, presumably with all of the Xbox Series X / S goodness that yes. you can avail yourself of. So, yeah. How about it? What's it like?
Well, if I can take the lead quick, because I was quite negative on the game, and because of them announcing the Game Pass thing, I went, all right, fine, I'll give it another try. Went back, redid the demo, had a much better time than I did on the PS4. Do not play this game in previous gen. It's just not worth trying. It's too just technically bad. And then as well, I think there was a comment in our Discord that said that the game wasn't intended as like a live service-y Destiny type game, but more of a looter shooter Borderlands type game. And I went, oh, okay, I'm more into that. That's because I've got enough live service games on the go at the minute. So went through the demo, had a much better time. Game Pass, it's on there now, installed that. Finally, I've put about 6 hours in so far and really enjoying it thus far. A couple of technical hiccups, but otherwise solid kind of faster Gears of War, I'm fine. Yeah.
But do you know what you need to do for technical hiccups? You need to drink a glass of carbonated water whilst upside down.
While standing on your head and casting lightning or ice because Outriders. But
yeah.
Yeah. The initial problems I had with the game to begin with, it seems they get solved about an hour after the tutorial. When you hit like level 10 or so, then the game becomes really fun to play. And I've not done any multiplayer yet. I think you said you had, Tim.
Yeah, I did a bit last week. I haven't done much more of that this week. I've just been playing the single player, but yeah.
But at the moment, playing it single player, I'm like, yeah, I could totally do this, get through the story and let it be a single player game. But I will try some multiplayer stuff because there's fun to be had. And
comboing with even randoms was quite good fun, especially... We didn't actually work that well together the first time we played out. We got killed fairly quickly. But then we both went, without even talking to each other, we both kind of focused on helping each other out a bit more and combining our powers and staying a bit closer to each other. And yeah, that gels together quite nicely when you're playing with other players as well.
It's like modern day Power Rangers, Tim. I mean, the one thing I was just going to say, because I think part of why I wasn't so keen on it. So I think it kind of got misrepresented in some ways as more of like a Destiny type online thing, which is kind of what I was expecting, as opposed to more of a looter shooter in the demo. And apparently one of the things I've heard, and this might be touching on what you were saying, Coleman, is that you can't approach it like a cover-based shooter. It's all about, you've got to mix and match your powers and the gunplay and the healing and the kind of hunkering down much more than you wouldn't say Gears. So
I would say you've got to mix and match that those approaches, and you have to mix and match when you're using cover. Like, there's times where cover is really helpful for you and can save you, but just staying in cover will probably get you killed, basically.
Yeah. The way you're meant to mix things up is your class is... The main point of your class is how you heal, because it's not auto-generating heal unless you finish like a round of enemies and then it will just put your health back at full. But it's meant to be, if you pick someone who's made for close combat, then when you do close combat moves, then your health regenerates. If you do someone who's... So initially I picked the trickster and I think I had lightning powers and I could flash through time and attack them and stuff, and that was all fun. But
I have lightning powers. I don't want to, I've just got to lick a battery. That's what happens. You know those kind of square batteries that have the two terminals on the end? So I get my lightning powers.
But when I was playing that, I find, because especially in third-person shooters, I much prefer to play a sniper role. So when I went to the Xbox version of the game, I recast as a technomancer with the ice powers. And so now I do more snipery stuff and get more regenerating that. But you know, when it comes down to it, you can just pull out a shotgun and gun down enemies that are close by to you if you're in a pickle. But it's
Oh, in a pickle. I hate it when I'm trying to save the universe and I get in a pickle.
But I think that's where the multiplayer comes in handy because yeah. everyone
can mix
has,
and match. But yeah, see, actually think I'll play differently when I'll set up my character up slightly differently when I'm playing multiplayer to when I'm playing on my own, because there are certain powers that benefit the team that aren't worth you having if you're just playing on your own, but would be very beneficial on the team. Likewise, I would actually change the equipment that I'm playing with. Like, I actually found it as a Devastator, yes, you're very good in close combat, but it meant that I was really prone to snipers in this, which can actually be quite deadly in this game as well.
Oh.
Especially when you get up into the higher level. I think I'm about level 17, 18, something like that, basically.
It's funny because you mentioned the snipers. The snipers are just, they have no mercy whatsoever.
Yes. Like,
as soon as you see a red dot, hide.
Yeah.
Because the sniper's going to get you from wherever, whenever.
And take off a significant portion of your health, basically.
That's
even
it.
If you've got quite a lot.
So I can imagine that being irritating if you're doing
yeah.
that. But then it's like, but then the AI for the other enemies are particularly quite dumb. Like, there are moments where there'll be loads of enemies and they'll just be standing around. And because I'm far enough distance away, I can snipe them one after the other and they don't do anything.
And they don't
just
do
accept
anything.
Their fate. But the sniper will be the one who goes, I'll get him.
when they're not in combat, they seem a little dumb in
I'll
that way.
Have him.
When they're actually in combat, I quite like some of the stuff the AI does. It's not necessarily revolutionary, but like, you'll get in sides where like, one person will give cover fire while the other one moves, and the other one will then give cover fire while that one gets into a slightly better position to get a better angle on you. And like, they'll work together quite nicely. And then you have like kind of emergent gameplay things that happens with like just like being able to shoot someone and they'll drop a grenade. If they're throwing a grenade at you and you actually shoot them in the action of doing it, it will stop that action and drop that grenade. And you can use that to kind of interact with what's going on. And I definitely you can't talk about Outriders, I don't think, without talking about the DNA that's come from other games, both that this studio has worked on and that this game is definitely influenced by. And
I think Bulletstorm has a bit of the
Bulletstorm about it kind of thing. Like, some of the powers remind me of Bulletstorm in some ways.
The voice acting
and
Bulletstorm.
And the swearing. Yeah,
and the swearing and stuff like that. I do think it misses the Bulletstorm humor at times. Like, it's got a dark sense of humor in places, but I think it could have leaned a bit more heavily into that and been a bit more kind of akin to Bulletstorm, possibly. But then you can definitely feel the DNA of Gears of War in it, with the cover mechanics and stuff like that, that they've obviously learned from working on that. But then, like you say, it definitely scratches a few of the Borderland itches and kind of takes a few notes from them in terms of the weaponry and the mods that you have with that. But then it all adapts and kind of, it's all in a sort of Destiny style package. You're still yeah. playing that single player as an online thing. And there were understandable hiccups on the opening weekend of server coverage and that going
down a
couple of times.
I didn't touch it over the weekend.
But I actually found that there was one time, I think, over the weekend where I went to play it and it wasn't playable. And even one of the times when saying it wasn't playable, I actually got in and played for a couple of hours. So it wasn't completely out for the weekend. It was just up and down, a bit spotty for some people. It's one of those things where I think when Destiny came out, I wasn't as prepared as I was knowing
for the sheer awesome.
Well, no, but knowing what I'm now getting into for Outriders, I criticized Destiny 4 and fell off Destiny 4. But because I'm a bit more used to that style and structure of it being an always online single player experience as well, that I'm more forgiving of it somehow, and I've kind of got, but very much I am in the mind frame where this could become my equivalent of Destiny for you, Dan, basically. Like, I can see me playing this for an extended period of time, basically. Maybe not buying several copies of it, but...
Hey!
Yeah.
I resent that.
I could see me getting into it and playing it with some other people. And yeah, like, I can see me playing through it multiple times and playing the different classes as well.
Well, you'll have to pay for at least one copy because it will come off of Game Pass at some point,
and I might end up buying it at that point.
Yeah,
but I did like the demo. I love the final game. I really, really am enjoying it. It's scratching the right itches for me and like playing the way I want to play. But as Coleman says, when you get up into about level 10 and beyond, and when you start opening up the powers, but you also get kind of forced to change up the powers and things that you're doing as you go through the game, as the equipment that you unlock might influence what powers you end up sticking with as well. Because the mods and stuff do make a big difference. Like, I've got one that modifies the basic earthquake power that I have, that I can
do it. Aren't you a fancy lad? Well, no,
but that I can do that earthquake power twice before cooldown, which is a big difference. And then you can also modify it so it does more damage, and you can modify it a load of other things. And yeah, it generally feels like you've got those three different powers, and you've probably got enough room to really power up two of them, basically, until you unlock more mod spaces and stuff like that. But the mods get better as you go through the game. There's rarer mods and stuff like that. And it does feel like when you find a really good gun in this game, you are really pleased. And you might find finding a really good gun might just be a case of, that's a really good gun. I have no intention of using that gun at all. But the mod that is in that gun, that is brilliant. The system works in an interesting way where to get a mod from a gun or a piece of equipment, you have to break it down, dismantle it.
Right.
And if you dismantle it, then the mod's available for you to stick in something else. The problem with that is if you've got a mod that's in one really good gun, you don't want to dismantle that gun because then you'll lose the gun and the base stats that come with that gun as well.
So, I mean, how well does it signpost that? Because I kind of got the feeling in the demo version, it didn't do a great job of actually saying, hey, look, here's why you should care about these stat boosts, for example.
No, it didn't, because like, a lot of this stuff kind of comes to you in the first home base that's available, and it blocked all those sections off to wait for the full game before you can do any of this.
You don't really see any of the crafting system or any of the upgrade system properly at all until you're out of the demo. And I do think it makes a big difference to the game and the way you want to play the game as well.
As brave as it was for them to go, hey, this is the first hour and change of the game for free. Play this. If you like it, then jump in, you know, go get the full game and you can carry a thing over. You know, again, after an hour of the tutorial and then playing the game and going, oh, no, this is fun. I just had to give it a while to kind of kick in. It does make me wonder if, because I was listening to PS I Love You a little while ago, and they were discussing this when I think it was Greg was talking about the playing the game at an event and them having these super high powered characters to play about with in a demo scenario and going, yeah, this game's really fun. And then picking up the demo and going, oh, this is not that fun. Like, they've obviously, I'm wondering if it would have been better for them to have had a more vertical slice type deal and release that rather than
give you some unlock. And this is 20 hours in the game or something.
Rather than doing the way they've done, they could have gone, okay, if you play through this, then you get an unlock special suit or weapon or something for the main game.
I did like the fact that you could just play through the demo and that transferred over. I haven't done that many times with games, but that did work very smoothly with this, and I unlocked all the achievements that I'd unlocked in the demo and stuff like that straight away.
Yeah, that was nice. So, I switched that on the first day just to go, there's all my achievements.
Yeah. Pop, pop, pop. It's nice to see. But yeah, like I really have been enjoying it. And as I said, it ticks a lot of the right boxes for me. But yeah, I like the sum total of what it's put together. And I'm not going to try and defend the dialogue or the script necessarily. I'm not going to say it gets any better. It possibly doesn't get any worse. But I still am intrigued by the world setup. Like, it's still keeping me intrigued and little breadcrumb trail of information on the way. But I've been enjoying that side of it and seeing how that opens up and the world opens up a bit. But it's the moment-to-moment gameplay that I think is the real reason to be coming back for it, because it's just an enjoyable gameplay loop of picking up loot. And they describe it as a loot shooter rather than a looter shooter. And I don't know if they're trying to make a technical difference there.
That's just what they call it in Poland.
Yeah, okay. I have no idea. But they keep on describing it as that. But yeah, I'm very much into this game at the moment, basically. So I've been enjoying it a lot.
The big kind of takeaway from the full game from the demo is that the gameplay, once you stick with the gameplay gets better. the kind of story stuff to set the game up with that was kind of dross, that's focused on a lot less as you go. It's still there, but not in such one big giant block. Like, I'm having problems where whenever it cuts to a cutscene, it flickers on the screen. It doesn't play quite correctly. In one, it just outright crashed to the home screen. But other than that, it's been absolutely fine. And the shaky cam seems to have lessened the further I've got in. So I don't know if that's been updated or what. But
I think they listened to the criticisms of the demo and made some changes, I think.
And is the motion blur still awful?
You can turn that off entirely, I believe. And I think it's...
Oh, can you? I've not noticed.
Yay! Yeah, I think so. I thought that was a setting in there. They've got quite a few settings for different bits and bobs in there as well and different things.
I'll have to look. I didn't see that. But I can fully see them at some point down the line go... because I'm assuming Microsoft paid a fair bit to get this as an Xbox Game Pass thing. I could see them also going, yeah, all right, PC, but further down the line because we need to make some sales first. But if you have Game Pass, go play this on Game Pass. If you don't, then it's... I wouldn't say outright go pay £70 for this.
Maybe
wait for a sale. But for the price of you're paying a subscription and you might as well play some games that are available on your subscription, this is a good one to get.
And presumably, even if you're not on Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, that there's still some availability of the demo out there, so you can still give it a try and make some progress
there's,
on your character.
There's no date on the demo.
That if you just want to see...
Yeah, that does come with the qualifier that that does give you a limited view of the game, and I'd say it opens up and gets much better going through. I would also say that had I paid full price for this game... I would not be disappointed with the result. I can understand people that did being a bit more annoyed with the server issues on the first day, but as I said, I think you need to expect that with this type of game coming in now, and I had that expectation, so I wasn't disappointed. But if I had paid £60 for the game, I would be very pleased with the amount of game that I got, basically. And I can see me paying for it at some point in the future, possibly.
That sounds like a Destiny move from me.
I just don't see this as a full price £70 game for what I'm getting just on the presentation, voice acting, all that kind of stuff. When you look at the whole thing as one experience, this does not scream to me full price game. This, like, £40 this at most, this screams to me.
it seems
personal preference.
From what I've heard, it could probably...
How much did you pay for Avengers?
I didn't. It was a present.
Okay.
but I think the one thing, by the sounds of it, it's that they could probably do with taking the training wheels off a little earlier in the game, by the sounds of things, give you access to some of the cool powers and really make you feel like a superhero badass that you really want to be, rather than feel like you're shooting people in the kneecap with potato.
I think they could just either end the demo or have an alternate demo at some point in the future with a leveled up character at level 20 or something, and that shows you all the options you can get into and just gives you a couple of levels to show you what the game can really do. But I understand the decision to put the bit of the demo that they did put out so that people could just play through it and transfer, and in my position I appreciated them doing that, basically. So
in your position, do you know who I am? I'm Timothy Hibbs.
Well, I hate playing a demo and then having to restart and play through the same bit of the game I've already played through. Although, having said that, I did that a couple of times anyway because I replayed the demo a few times and,
I like unlockables in demos. So if they did a thing of hey, and that's the other problem. I said it really opens up when you get to level 10. I think the demo cuts your knees off at level 7. So it's like so close. They should have done a thing if they went, hey, you hit level 7. Now you get like this cool, we've put you to level 40 and you're going mad with your mad powers and stuff. Like something like that would have been really cool.
Yeah. Go nuts for one level sort of thing.
This is for the elite gamers.
The elites.
Yes.
The leetage.
Yeah. But if you've got Game Pass, definitely from me, it's worthwhile picking up. And to Tim, it's a full price buy.
Wow. There you go, heard it here first. Do remember that Tim has made other such great purchasing decisions as Ouya and Rise. just saying.
I mean, 7 copies of Destiny, Dan.
No, I haven't bought 7, I bought 6.
A very reasonable 6. Plus all the DLC.
I bought 4.
See?
Yeah, I've definitely bought 4.
I don't have that much of a problem.
But One was for me.
50% more than Coleman, and Coleman has a problem.
Yeah, whatever, shut up.
One was for me. One was so a person that was in me could we could play co-op. One was for Tim to try and get him into Destiny, and the other one was to play on PC, which I think lasted all of a week.
Yeah. It's good on PC, though.
It was the most money I spent on Destiny was the PC version, just so I could get all the DC and DLC and stuff. And then they went, hey, it's going to be on Xbox with all the DLC and stuff included on Game Pass.
Like,
oh, cheers. Thanks, guys.
It is getting to the point where I was wondering, it might not be worth buying video games anymore, guys. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of depends. Problem is, I'm worried it's going to go the way of video streaming services. Well, even more so, obviously, you've got different platforms with different games, different exclusives, but just the slightly ridiculous and inevitable explosion of game streaming services, I think.
Ubisoft tried to do one and failed. EA have one that they've rolled into Game Pass.
Yes.
I don't mind as long as it's per platform and not fragmented any more than that, basically. But anyway.
I'm just hoping that they bring Game Pass streaming or xCloud or whatever it ends up being called to the PC, or I can work out a way to sideload an Android app to achieve that.
I've heard the sideloading brings up quite a lot of stuttering.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just come to the Android side, Dan.
No.
Because then you wouldn't be able to do cool things like play Apple Arcade.
Actually, there are some quite cool things on Apple Arcade, as I shall prove by means of a seamless segue, courtesy of Coleman. You're the man, Coleman.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, so quick question.
Yep.
Do you like Everybody's Golf?
Tim does. I've never played it.
Everybody's Golf is awesome.
It's good in Someone VR.
Say it's Most... not quite Everybody's Golf.
Everybody but Coleman's Golf. There we go. How's that?
That's not so catchy a title, I don't think.
No, but... despite being the one out of three of us who looks most like a golf ball with that big shiny...
I'm more of a PGA Pro Golf 2003 on the PS2, thank you very much.
Wow, okay. Wow, that is a deep cut in golf games. Me and Tim like happy, shiny, lovely things like Everybody's Golf. Good. And it turns out... Apple Arcade have made a couple of, well, frankly, much needed updates to the service where they've kind of gone from what was initially like Apple Store exclusive games only, their Apple Arcade exclusive games only, to actually pulling in some that were previously kind of had a free tier, but then you unlock with an additional payment. A number of those, about 30 or 40 of them, have found their way into Game Pass now. And one of the things that's also appeared is a game called Clap Hands Golf, which is by the same people who did Everybody's Golf, but due to super fun, super exciting copyright reasons, they can't call it Everybody's Golf, obviously.
Because PlayStation.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly, awesomely complete version of what is ostensibly Everybody's Golf on a phone.
Definitely not. Legally, distinctively, not Everybody's Golf.
Absolutely not Everybody's Golf. And the kind of unique twist they've tried to put on it, it's a bit like a kind of a tag battle now with kind of you have various golfers in your team and they take turns. Each of them got different skills, which seemed a bit more marked than in previous Everybody's Golf. Sorry, Clap Hands titles. And it seems really good fun. I mean, it absolutely eats your battery for breakfast. No surprises there. But it looks fantastic. And it's got all the nice kind of quirky, fun stuff to it that previous Everybody's Golf games, sorry, Clap Hands games have had.
I have a question. Mr. Dan. Who is Hands and why is he clapping?
Or who is Hands and why has he got clap? I think is actually the question we all need to be asking.
But is there any reason why it's called Clap Hands Golf? Because you just described the mechanics and there was no clapping or hands.
Is there a reason? Does it make sense at all?
It's
the name of the studio, Tim.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's it.
That's it.
Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So you didn't know they were called Clap Hands before. Okay. Good. Good work there, Tim.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Back in your hole now. Okay, bye-bye.
In your hole.
I mean, there's no multiplayer or anything, sadly, which may well come. And I think the kind of the touch controls do need a little bit of refinement since they're a bit fiddly. And I think one of the things I really loved with the kind of everybody's golf on the PlayStation was like the crazy backspin or front spin shots you could do. And that's really, really awkward to pull those shots off on the touchscreen. So essentially what you do is you put your thumb on the screen, pull down to set the strength of your swing, and then you flick up to twat the ball.
Have you then got a flick in a direction to put...
Well, no, that's the thing. The length of the flick up you do determines what spins on the ball. Ooh. So if you want to do a backspin, you've got to do a very tiny little flick. And if you want top spin, you've got to do a very long flick. I thought I'd put different voices to help with the word picture.
Incredibly immersive.
I felt like I was there with you, Dan.
Good, cheers, mate. And side spin is a bit more obvious because you just kind of drag it to one side from the midline of where you're going. So it's actually really tricky to do that, and as a result can make the game feel a little bit imprecise. I'm hoping that's something they'll patch out, because the rest of it is a really, really well put together, highly polished bit of fun you can have.
So everything's good apart from the golf, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think there is a good golf game there. It's just the controls do need some finessing. There is controller support, which I haven't tried yet, all fairness. So you could... attach a control to your iPad or a Bluetooth control to your iPhone, or if you've got an Apple TV, which is also compatible with, you can play it on there.
Right. And remind me and our listeners what the deal is with Apple Arcade at the moment as well. Is that a subscription service-based thing? Yeah.
Apple Arcade is a subscription service. I think it's like a fiver a month or thereabouts, and you get access to their library of curated games. I mean, there are some good games in there. There's the latest game by one of the creators of Final Fantasy that I really want to try, actually
that's the one, because I was listening to a Giant Bomb actually, and they were talking about they keep talking about Apple Arcade, but they were talking about this game in particular, and then they were talking about all this new stuff that's coming to Apple Arcade or is on Apple Arcade. Oh, right. Hit a button by accident. Hit 20 buttons by accident. Oh my god.
Stop.
Hold on. Right, there we go.
Coleman, I think I speak for all of us when I say this. You moron.
I don't know how I did that. I just turned like the first effect on every soundboard at the same time.
Excellent. So, I mean, I think the game you're looking for is Fantasian, I believe.
Yeah, that's the one. But they were talking
again,
about
totally wrong sound effect, you bellend.
No, that was just for me earlier.
Okay.
But yeah, sorry, they were talking about... Oh, I'm going to put my hands here where I can't hit my keyboard by accident. They were talking about all these different games coming to Apple Arcade, and they were saying, oh, the one from the guys from Final Fantasy, that is one to look out for. So there we go.
Yeah, and that's on my list of things to try in the coming weeks. Why are you holding your hands like that?
So I didn't hit the soundboard. I don't know what to do with my... Look, Tim should do this so he doesn't hit the mic.
I'll hit my mic.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
So, as we were saying, Apple Arcade is about Fiverr. I think you get access now over 180 games. You can dip in and dip out month by month. I don't think there's a discount for doing a multi-month thing. However, a number of mobile phone contract providers will just give you it as part of your plan. So mine's all bundled in with EE. Already, so I get that and Apple Music and Apple TV for what it's worth.
I've got Apple TV at the moment after buying a Mac.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't necessarily think Claphands Golf is worth going out of your way to pay Apple Arcade for, but if you just wanted to give it a try, you know, you could do it for a fiver or
before it ends up on the Switch.
Yeah, or exactly. So there we go. So that's a game I've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that more phone providers are giving away video game stuff.
Yeah.
I just got 12 months of Game Pass Ultimate, so that's good.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Handy.
And a Razer Kishi.
Nice.
Yeah. You had another game.
I did, and I am enjoying life like it's 2016 right now.
You're still playing No Man's Sky.
I'm still playing No Man's Sky because those crazy, crazy guys and girls at Hello Games have decided, do you know what's a really sound marketing proposition that's going to help our bottom line? To continue to sink more money into a game that's 4 years old and not charge people for any of the DLC because we're actually really nice people. So, you have some more DLC.
They really could have done paid DLC by now. Like,
they really, really could.
Really could. Guys, you've done well. Thanks a lot. But you can move on to pay DLC.
Exactly. You're all awesome people, okay? We have so much respect for you. But you can, perhaps, get over the guilt of the fact that No Man's Sky was a mess when you released it. You have rescued it. You have made it a decent game.
It is fantastic.
I liked it when it first launched.
Yeah, so did I. But
now I play it and go, I don't know what I'm doing.
Carl Mann, no, understand.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Actually added something that you'd be interested in now, Coleman, because you can now finally start on the same planet.
Yes, exactly. And this is actually really worth checking out. Because I think the one thing that No Man's Sky has missed is a decent onboarding experience. And by onboarding, I mean, helping explain mechanics to new players and making them feel like they're part of a cohesive universe. So the new version or the new update to No Man's Sky is called Expeditions. And the big thing is that it essentially introduces a seasonal mode. So once every couple of months, there is a community-wide kind of exploration and expedition that you'll go on with everybody else. And you all start on the same planet. You all start with the same equipment. You all start with the same objectives. And there's kind of six phases of objectives you need to go through, which kind of walk you through the basics, like go and discover some animals, go and fly into space for the first time, do a warp jump for the first time. And it kind of really nicely walks you through all the things that you need to do to get you there. And they've clearly kind of curated a nice path of systems to go through, which have got interesting planets, interesting animals. I think they've really upped the density of random events and also buildings you come across on planet surfaces. And it actually makes it a really nice experience. You can see other players on planets who you've never met. You can see their starships flying about. It feels really good fun to play, and they've actually started you off with a pretty decent character loadout with enough inventory space that you're not constantly having to bin stuff because you've run out of room. They're really good with being generous and giving you kind of like basic materials and fuel for your ship and fuel for your freighter. The bonuses you get for doing each of the mini tasks within each stage of the expedition are really good, like 1 million credits to spend on stuff.
Ooh.
So it really takes away a lot of the grind from it, but also gives you a reason to want to play it. They've also got, because there hasn't been a weekend yet since they've released it, as far as I could tell. Well, there might have been, but I clearly forgot to play it. Was that they've also added in like special weekend objectives as well, where there's like special weekend events. And you can all participate in it, get really good rewards. There are, in-game rewards and guess what? Some Twitch integration. They've really changed how the scanners work as well, which make it easier to find stuff on planets. And they've kind of updated the missions you get from space stations, made them a lot more interesting rather than just go here and scan this. It's, a lot more intricate. So I think it's a corking upgrade to No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky is, of course, included on Game Pass, and this will be bundled in that. So if you've got Game Pass, you've got No Man's Sky. This is totally worth checking out. I'm not sure how much it costs new on Steam at the moment. Probably it's around about £30 mark at the moment, but I think there's never been a better time for giving No Man's Sky a try. They've given it a massive visual upgrade. They've overhauled just about every aspect of the game. It's now the game it really should have been, and this expeditions mode is a really good way to introduce you to the game and to actually have fun doing it, because I think No Man's Sky could feel like a bit of a slog before.
I'll add one more thing to that as well, because there's an extra reason to play it on PlayStation over and above the other ones, because it is fantastic in VR as well. It's a really just interesting experience in VR.
Flying you can also out play it in VR on PC.
Is that available to play through your Quest? Can you do that and play
it? I have stories to tell you about my Quest, but that's for another time.
Okay.
As in technical problems and then some git stealing the taking delivery of the replacement unit and not fessing up to it.
So,
people not checking addresses probably, but that's for another time. I did briefly give it a go. It was pretty incredible just being in like your 3D spaceship. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to play it in earnest because I am currently questless.
Oh, didn't know that. But yeah, like it's a really cool VR experience. It's one of the things that is a bit easier to play for long periods as well. And it just lends itself really nicely to being an enjoyable VR game as well. I think I've now spent more time in VR than I have out of it, basically, playing that game. But yeah,
I mean I think if for nothing else, one of the things that makes Expedition so great to enjoy if you're returning or just brand new to No Man's Sky is that you're no longer at the kind of the mercy of RNG. You know, you are guaranteed to start on a planet that's got all the stuff you need and a system that's full of really interesting planets and all of the ones along the critical path to the kind of the waypoints of the expedition are all really good, interesting, have loads of stuff on them. So check it out. Really good fun.
Yeah. I mean, I know they added a story a long time ago, but now it seems like they've added a campaign in the way that they make you all start at the same place and all that. Yeah. It's a shame because I started again recently on PC, recently last year, but I was getting quite into it and then I stopped subscribing to Game Pass. And then since I've had it back on, I've been umming and ahhing whether to put it back on the PC. And then now I got my Xbox. I'm like, well, should I put it on the Xbox? And then I just looked it up just now, and you can't cross your saves over between the two. So, I hate when they do that. They go, right, this is available on PC Game Pass and Xbox Game Pass, and because you're so on cloud, and because you're so used to when you load one of those up and you've been playing on both, it just goes syncing and pulls all your stuff across. You'd expect it for any game, but like it doesn't do it on Outer World, and it doesn't do it on No Man's Sky, apparently. So.
I mean, you can still do cross-play, however.
Yes. So why not cross-save? Let me cross my saves.
I don't know. I'm just a messenger, Coleman.
I guess if I've got to start again to do this mode, then...
That's fine. The thing. You have to start brand new, because that's the whole idea of the expedition mode.
Good time to restart.
Yeah, certainly is. You ought to check it out. If you don't, it makes you a miserable person. So that's it. That's what I've done played. Have you guys done played anything else, or are we all done with the stuff we've done played?
That's just it.
Hello, Tim's coming in with a cheeky one.
I was just going to mention thanks to people that recommended the headset that I ended up picking up, and I've been playing using that while playing a bit of Outriders as well. And yeah, that I haven't used the mic so much yet, but the headset itself and the sound is phenomenal. So, and really comfortable headset and seems really good. So yeah, thanks for the recommendations. For anyone that's interested, I went with the Steel Series Wireless Arctic 7X, I think it is, which is the one for the Xbox, but apparently that means that it's easier to hook up to everything, basically. But yeah, so far so good. Basically haven't hooked it up to everything yet, but from what I've used of it, it's been very good.
Good.
Blended.
We were going to do news, but we've gone for quite a bit of what we've done played. So very, 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 very quickly, there was a report from Universities of Plymouth and Wolverhampton that they basically said, hey, loot boxes are problem they are problems for gamblers, and they can start off addictions to gambling. There is a rumor at the moment that there was a data mine of a Nintendo Switch update that could lead to a 4K version of the dock and also Bluetooth audio, which kind of points to a new version of the Switch again. E3 is going to be all electronic this year. It will take place between the 12th of June and the 15th of June, but they've changed the name slightly. It's now Electronic Entertainment Experience, not Expo.
Because it's not really an expo if no one is going to your expo.
Yeah.
That's three things we predicted accurately, I think, possibly, no?
Well, what electronic entertainment experience.
Well, no, we didn't. Not the experience part of it, but the fact that it would be digital again this year. I think we predicted last year. We talked about the 4K switch.
Well, it wasn't
a while
digital
ago.
Last year. They just outright cancelled it.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was Summer of Games instead.
Right.
The Jeff Keighley's thing and joint with loads of different sites and stuff. But
yes,
yeah,
that's right.
The companies that are going to be taking part of this year's E3 will be Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two Interactive, Warner Brothers Games, and Media. There's no Sony, EA,
cock
because
media.
EA do... No, Media.
Cock Media.
I think we asked someone who knows. It's Koch Media, isn't it?
No, it's Koch Media.
Okay. Yeah. EA's doing EA Play, so they won't be there. Sony pulled out a while ago, so they won't be there. Squeenix are doing their own thing. Sega won't be there.
They have floppy drives still, Tim. Not super sexy drives or hard drives.
Namdi Bamco won't be there. Tencent, 505, and Activision Blizzard. None of those will be involved at all. There you go.
Yes, I haven't had a chance, in all fairness, to properly digest the report that came out of the University of Plymouth and Wolverhampton for that first item Coleman talked about, but it seems completely plausible to me. Loot boxes are the most poisonous form of microtransaction, in my humble opinion. And, you know, the more light that gets shone on this as a gateway drug, as it were, to problem gambling, I think the better. You know, good on them for having for actually taking the time to research this very well. I am going to read the report in full. I am fairly certain it's going to check out. But just from a first principles, just from the, you know, the face validity point of view, which is the first thing I always apply to anything scientific that I read, it makes sense. We've all seen loot boxes. We can fully appreciate, you know, the noxious psychological underpinnings of them.
Yeah.
And the more vilified this behavior and money making tactic gets, the more vilified it becomes, the better for everyone concerned.
Yeah, especially when it's like very deliberate, well, not very deliberately, but definitely very much aimed at children. That's a terrible thing for you to be doing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to know a particularly scary fact that comes from the report?
Yes, please.
You had an opportunity to say, would you like to know more? And you just breezed through it, Coleman.
I've got a stats for you.
Right.
What does that mean?
So 5% of those who generate half the entire revenue for loot boxes.
Yay, over dispersion. I could have told you that was going to be the case.
They spend more than £70 a month on loot boxes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
How many of those are FIFA streamers opening packs on streams, though? Because, you know...
I don't know.
That pays for itself, obviously.
Well, I mean, I think the real troubling thing, and you see this a lot with gambling proper as well, is actually it preys... Because they're individually small transactions, they kind of fly under the radar of, like, your normal check of, oh, Christ, that looks expensive, maybe I won't buy it. It's just like, oh, it's only another 50p.
Yeah.
It's only another 50p. And it actually specifically... What's the word I'm looking for here? It's that it, the burden of disadvantage it has is disproportionately placed on those who tend to struggle financially due to the circumstances they have in life. So, you know, it's not only a noxious behavior, it's a noxious behavior that kind of that can really make things so much worse for people who have already got a lot on their plate. So
they've literally gamified taking advantage of the people that are most prone to being taken advantage of. And they have a name for them. They call them whales. They hunt for them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I'm going to go with the same thing that I've been saying for years, and it's that whether it's just microtransactions in general, whether that's loot boxes, currencies, paying for costumes, like any of this kind of stuff.
I don't like supporting it.
I'm fine with it in a mobile game that you don't pay anything for it.
Yeah.
If you stick it in my £70, it was 40 when we started arguing about this. If you stick it in my full price game,
how long this podcast episode's been going for?
Yes,
we're 10 months away from being 10 years in this podcast.
I try not to think about that too much.
If you stick this in a full price game, I'm not happy, and you know, I don't like this scheme that was brought in to make money from mobile games that you could give away for free, and then make your money up later. then put into a full price title. I've always hated it. I'm always going to hate it. Just not a fan.
Yep,
and then the loot box stuff is nefarious on top of that. Predatory mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hey ho.
And if shame on you for video game. Not you, Coleman. Shame on you for people who've actually proactively implemented this in the games that they make. Shame.
I need a shame button. I haven't got one of those. I've just got
shame.
The...
Yeah. Shame. Yes.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
No, that's definitely not the right one.
Definitely not the right one. So there we go. So I think that's it for the news, unless there's anything else. I mean, I'm just carrying on talking just to stop Colm playing with his soundboard more than anything else.
That's fine. There was one more bit of news that I didn't put in the agenda. Everyone's been talking about it now. So MLB The Show, which is a Sony-developed title and previously a Sony-published title. The original news last year was that MLB The Show will be coming to the Nintendo Switch and the Xbox platforms because MLB went, hey, we want our game on other platforms. Those versions of the games won't be published by Sony. They will be published by MLB directly. And because of this, MLB The Show will be launched day one on Game Pass for Xbox.
Hey!
Not on PlayStation Now or on PlayStation Plus.
Oh dear.
That's not a good look for you, Sony. It really isn't.
Make of that what you will.
Well, I mean, this has been come for all because I think Sony was so used to being the ones with kind of exclusive or timed exclusive DLC for games and stuff. I think they just kind of took it for granted that, you know, if you want to be popular, you've got to come to our platform because that's where all the cool kids are.
Yeah.
Whereas now, actually, I think Sony's grabbiness and lack of willingness to share, I think a number of publishers and development studios have actually realized that in the long term, that's really not a good thing for the growth of that particular game and also them as a studio and as a brand. So, you know, you reap what you sow, I'm afraid, Sony.
But, I don't know, like at the moment you see Microsoft going out, buying Bethesda, making these big moves, adding their games to Game Pass and making that an even more attractive proposition. And Sony seem to be reacting a little bit to this. Like, I don't know if that was some of the thinking behind the games of play or something they were giving away recently. There's like a selection of games and VR games that they're giving away. Ostensibly under the guise of, you're bored at home and these are some nice relaxing games, which is a nice thing to do. But I kind of think that's a short-term answer to the Xbox are giving away a lot of games, which is pulling people to their platform. We need something to pull people back in the other direction. The easiest thing we can do is to give away existing games. But I do think they need a better long-term answer to Game Pass. Otherwise, like almost every week that goes by, I think they are losing more and more people. Like, I would have bought Outriders on PlayStation. And I think in the last generation, there were more people that would have done that because games got Game Pass. We spoke earlier about not possibly buying games. And it's getting to a point where stuff comes to PlayStation Now, or not PlayStation Now, but PlayStation Plus and Game Pass, like, day one a lot of the time. And if not, it will come slightly further down the line. And you're getting lots of other games with gold stuff, and like there's a way to pick up a lot of free games at the moment, basically. And I feel like I've got a lot of games to play, and this is in a dearth of actual new games coming out a little bit, which I think is also hurting Sony, because their answer to Game Pass has always been, well, we like to have these big tentpole games that brings everyone to our platform. And I get that, but they are suffering at the moment with Cyberpunk not really landing properly and a few other big games being delayed out of this year because of COVID and everything else. I think Sony's really suffering to have that big answer. We'll talk about it more next week, but Oddworld Soulstorm came to PlayStation Plus this month. And I think like getting that on there, and it's a game that sits well with Sony. It's always had like PlayStation connotations to Oddworld games and stuff. But
so for Munch's Odyssey, Xbox exclusive.
Yeah. It kind of has gone back and forth, I guess. But originally, at least, the original Oddworld
was... The lineage is PlayStation.
Yeah. And it feels kind of at home on a PlayStation to me as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think they are... Like, their answer is not as good at the moment because of the situation and the way the, you know, the industry finds itself. But I still think they need to come up with a better long-term answer to Game Pass. Otherwise, they are just going to suffer and lose more people to the platform, I think, basically.
Couple of notes. One, the unavailability of a PlayStation 5 and the use of Game Pass sold me an Xbox.
Yep, that's true.
Two, a lot of people... I know MLB The Show is not that big in the here in the UK, but over in the US, it is a very big title.
Yeah, and I'll play it for free.
Well, a lot of people buy PlayStations for MLB The Show. Imagine you've bought that game and then they go, by the way, if you're an Xbox player, you get it for free.
For free, yeah.
I can imagine all the other being, stuff as well. Yeah.
Well, free included in your subscription price.
I mean, I still think it's a ridiculously compelling argument, bearing in mind that you're going to need to pay for PlayStation Plus anyway if you want to play multiplayer online.
Well, also considering that MLB The Show and Outriders are not the only games you get this month on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
yeah, GTA 5 just went on there today.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's insane. It's ridiculous. Actually insane how it's good really a good. Deal it is.
Yeah. And, like, I was thinking about this earlier because I think, why don't I subscribe to PlayStation Now? Because I hear there's a lot of decent games on there. And it's because it's not as good as Game Pass. They don't launch titles on there. They don't have these exclusives that come on there. And if, like, PlayStation have PlayStation Plus, they have PlayStation Now, and they have this Games of Home service. If they just combine the three, oh, and the PlayStation Plus collection as well, not forgetting that, that's four different competitors to the Game Pass that don't work as well.
Yeah, none of them are as good. And even combined, they're not as good.
Yeah, well, if they did combine those, and, you know, if they just went, right, scrap these services, we're going to... Because PlayStation Now has been tainted. They went, okay, you're going to stream your games. Not that good. And then people went, well, if you get Game Pass, then you can download your games. Okay, you can download your games on PlayStation Now. But no one knows. Like, so many... I think that had been available for a year, and then I remember a news section came on where you guys were talking about it and went, yeah, but you can't download your games on PlayStation Now. And you could. You could have for a year, and no one knows.
Yeah.
Their branding is all over the place with this kind of stuff. They need to just scrap all those services, come up with something new, like PlayStation Ultra or something like that. This is the new service. You can do all the things that Game Pass do. We're going to launch all our first-party titles on there. If you are a third-party title and you want to jump in on it, look at all the legacy games that we've just shut down for your ability to buy.
Yeah.
Now you can have all those. You know, there's a lot that needs looking at. But anyway, that's the news.
A lot of people drawing parallels to the PS3 era and the hubris of Sony returning again to strike them down, basically. It does seem that they just went into this generation going, yeah, no, we're fine, we're good. Here's a console, what's on it? Having said that, you said about the restriction of PS5s. I think PS5s, I believe, now have outsold, I think it was Wii U, which isn't much of an achievement, but outsold Dreamcast now. Like, it's outsold.
Oh, wow.
Outsold Dreamcast.
Wow. I'm like, really crushing them.
Yeah. Like, I mean, okay, they're not the biggest success stories, but that was, you know, the lifetime of a console, and we're, you know, only a year away from launch of the previous console. So
I am genuinely surprised. I mean, I know they had a cracking launch lineup when they brought the console out, but there's constantly stories going, hey, PlayStation 5 is outselling the Xbox Series S and Series X. And each time I think, why? The Xbox Series S, I know they have one exclusive at the moment, which isn't that good, and I can't even remember the name of it. So there you go. The Xbox Series S is nearly £200 cheaper than the cheapest PlayStation 5, and you can have Game Pass.
And you can actually get the time.
And you can get them,
Yeah.
There was so many sites that are doing it today, just the S. I know the X is harder to get, but the S is perfectly fine. Upscaled and all that.
Great little machine. It really is good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all the news.
Yeah.
That is the news. And we should probably think about stopping recording this here show because we're nearly at our time. So, chaps, Tim, I require a quick update on Gosh.
Well,
with the facts.
I do have a good update for you this week as well.
Well, jolly good.
A final figure from the Sales of Hope, courtesy of Sea of
Jack
Thieves.
Sparrow.
Sea of Thieves.
I nearly forgot the name of the game that we were playing a couple of weeks ago. Sea of Thieves, yeah, but they announced the total that was made from selling the sales of Hope, and that was announced in dollars for some reason, but $114,841.48, which
nice.
Is
about booty.
83 grand, as I checked, in pounds sterling.
Awesome.
But yeah, a nice tidy sum of money, and also people have been doing their streams and raising money with the sales of Hope and stuff as well, so there's been, you know, money generated on top of that as well. But from the actual sale of the sales themselves, that's a good amount of money to make, and thank you very much for anyone that contributing, and I'll say that because I know you two chaps did as well as myself.
Yep.
But yeah, thank you very much to you two. Thank you very much for everyone else that contributed to that total. That is a nice amount of money to earn for a very good organization. Anyone that wants to see some more details, you can follow at GeekOut4Gosh, number four, on Twitter and I believe Facebook and other places. But you can also check out some more information on Great Ormond Street Hospital's website. Search for Geek Out for Gosh on there as well, and there's some more details for you to find there. But generally, stream, earn some money. If you earn up to £250, you get an exclusive insert coin t-shirt and badge.
Awesome
and
t-shirt.
If you can't do any of that, then you can help just basically sponsor someone else, and or just help raise awareness for the scheme or for someone else that is streaming.
Yep.
They are things that you can do this week. Thank you very much.
The t-shirts and the badges look so cool that I wish that they just sold them. They just look amazing. Anyway, so the comments that have reached this show, you can get in contact with us if you want to give us a question via the comment section of BigRedBarrel.com. Also over on BigRedBarrel.com, we have a link to our Discord, which we do like if you go sign up to, because it's a fun little place to hang out, and it's the most direct place to get in contact with us. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at Big Red Barrel, and on YouTube at Big Red Barrel TV. We have one question. I have a question from Velvet Thunder.
Right.
He says, "What game would you give what game would you give to a 10-year-old relative who wanted to get into gaming?"
Okay.
Splatterhouse.
Ooh. Yeah, sick in it.
Saw the game.
I remember being asked by some mum with child in Blockbusters if Assassin's Creed was appropriate for her about 10-year-old child. And I was like, am I going to be nice to him? Am I going to be honest to you? I would say no.
I can remember a mother getting, when I was in game at some point, a mother getting irate that they weren't going to sell their Grand Theft Auto 4 to her little Johnny, aged 7.
Yeah,
it's just like, dude, seriously, that is not good. No, it's not appropriate.
Yeah, well, he's very mature for his age. Yeah, but he's not 11-year-old more mature than his age. No.
I literally remember picking up my copy and being in the queue at game, and the kid behind me with his mum, like, he was literally up to my waist. He was a tiny, tiny child, and she was buying this game for him. I was going, Are you getting GTA? And so, sorry, I got Grand Theft Auto. Are you getting the new Grand Theft Auto game for him? And she's like, yeah. You know, it's like an 18 rated game, right? And she goes, oh, yeah, he's fine with it. Okay. You know, a game with online components and stuff. Like, it's violent. And she goes, yeah, okay, they're swearing. And she goes, yeah, it's all fine. I went, all right, okay. Not going to tell you what to do. And then proceeded to buy my copy and went, wait, can't wait to sleep with a hooker and kill her and get the money back.
Nice.
So
nice. That's lovely.
I think she still went through with the purchase.
What a lovely story.
Well, what a beautiful heartwarming story for us all.
You couldn't actually do that in GTA 4, if I remember correctly. They took that feature out.
They took that out. To answer Velvet Thunder's question, despite my slight dislike of platformers, I would actually go for Mario Odyssey. I think that's a good introduction.
Yes, that is a good shout, actually.
And a very good game in itself.
I bought Super Mario Odyssey and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu for my friend's 9-year-old, and she really likes those games, so I'd suggest that. If they're into Pokemon as well, Pokemon Snap, new Pokemon Snap is out soon if they're on the Switch. And also any Lego game, like all those Lego games seem really good for kids.
Yeah. No, but I think Mario Odyssey would be a great introduction to games for a 10-year-old kid. I think that's it's just an awesome game, full stop, but also a really fun, varied exploration what games can do nowadays.
And then it's just a little sidestep to Mario Kart from there as well.
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
That is a good shout. Yeah. Do kids still like Minecraft? You know.
Is that a thing? Do kids like Minecraft? Are they still on Fortnite? What do kids do these days?
I don't know what the elite gamers these days are doing.
What do the children like these days?
Well, look, they're probably into Fortnite and everything else, but I think there is a thing to be said for, especially when introducing someone to games for the first time. Let's not go online yet. Let's not rust that situation for a 10-year-old. Like, that's okay. Play this offline. It's good.
I mean, we could always give like our experiences of games that we played at 10 years old. So like I used to play Monkey Island. Dan used to play the first Pong game. And Tim used to play a hoop and a stick down the road.
Literally, like people have been putting up on Twitter like, tweet without showing your age, tweet a picture of the first game you remember playing. And I'm all making me feel so old. They're like, here's Halo 3 and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm not going to put up a picture of Pong. I'm not going to do it. Like that would be my answer. Well, but no. Like,
well, I mean to give you an idea, Tim. When we were 10,
when we were 10,
and you were 12, probably.
Yeah.
24.
Jesus.
That's when Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, 3 he was about two.
Super Mario Brothers 3. So we're talking. Is that NES or SNES?
That was NES. NES, and then in 91-92 is when Mario World came out.
Okay, because 91-92 was when SNES came out with Street Fighter. So I was playing Street Fighter and stuff before then because I was playing it in the arcades. Yeah, okay. Right. When we're going back to the games I played at 10 years old in the arcades, you know I'm talking old.
Horseshoes. Yeah. Just throw them at a stick.
Yes.
It was just a coconut and a ball. That was what counts an arcade game for Tim. It's a fun game we play with Coleman now, in all fairness.
No, they had one of those shooting gallery things where you got to just bring your own gun, basically. That was it, you know.
So 94, I think I didn't have a console at that point. I was still on Amiga, so that would have been like the really bad US gold version of Street Fighter 2 or the Monkey Island games.
I went console before I went computer, and that's probably why I stuck that way. But yeah, Atari 2600.
Yowza. What a flashback that is. So anyway, I think we probably ought to go now because we've run out of time. We've talked for too long, as we always do. So all that really remains is for me to remind you to go to the places that Coleman said. So bigredbarrel.stuff.net.com. Say hello on the Discord and give us a question because we love questions. We love answering questions. Almost as much as we love rambling incessantly, just like I am doing now. So without further ado, we're going to close this show out. And all that's left is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I have been Coleman.
Yeah, you have. Well done. 10 out of 10. Correct answer. Have a smiley face.
Give him a peanut.
Huh?
Yes.
Just stop it, Dad. Do the thing. All right, I'll do the thing. So, until next time, dear listeners, doodle bye.
Your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.